events in the Middle East. Special coverage of the conflict between Israel and Hamas on KYW News Radio.
Israel and Hamas at war. What we will do to our enemies in the coming days will reverberate with them for generations. The words of Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, as he says his forces have only started striking Hamas. The Israeli military says it hit more than 200 targets in the Gaza Strip overnight. It is a ferocious retaliation for the surprise attack launched from Gaza over the weekend. Hamas is threatening to kill Israeli hostages if strikes target civilians without warning. We're joined now by two experts to help us understand what's happening and to put it in context. First, we speak with Jason Holtzman. He's the director of the Jewish Community Relations Council of the Jewish Federation of Greater Philadelphia. Jason, thanks for being with us. Many people in our area, of course, have deep connections to Israel, family, friends living there. Some have been huddled in shelters since Hamas launched its attack. Some have not heard from their loved ones, and some of them have heard the worst.
Yes, thank you for having me this morning. It's truly a terrible time. Nothing like the state of Israel has ever seen before. There are definitely people here in the Philadelphia area who have lost loved ones. We know people whose grandmothers have been taken hostage by Hamas and are being held in Gaza with no answer of what's happening to them, no medication. And this onslaught continues as Hamas is continuing to shoot thousands and thousands of rockets indiscriminately at the Israeli civilian population.
Later today, we're going to hear from President Biden, but he and the leaders of the UK, Germany, France, and Italy have issued a statement pledging united, coordinated support for Israel's efforts to defend itself, but also recognizing the legitimate aspirations of the Palestinian people. What do you make of that response, and what do you make of the response so far from the U.S. and the rest of the West?
I think that the response from the U.S. and the rest of the West is a proper response. There has been unequivocal condemnation of this onslaught of heinous terror. I mean, what happened on Saturday, where you had terrorists invading by land, air, and sea, and slaughtering what's now up to at least 900 Israelis with thousands more injured, including 260 who were killed in cold blood at a music festival. These are people who were dancing for peace and were murdered while trying to have a good time at a music festival. I can only imagine what that's like. And I think it's right. Hamas is not standing up for the Palestinian people. Hamas knows that what they're doing is going to provoke a response from Israel, like it would provoke a response from any country that faced an attack like this. And they, quite frankly, do not care about their people. They want to use their people as pawns. They know what type of response Israel is going to give. And unfortunately, they're putting their own civilians in a great deal of danger. So I think the response is proper. And I think that all of us here in the greater Philadelphia area and the Jewish community and our friends are praying for more peaceful days ahead. But we also know that if this were happening in our own country, that our own country would respond and would work as hard as it could to restore security, which is exactly what the Israeli Defense Forces are doing at this time.
Jason, do you have fears of a larger conflict? A senior Hamas official has said allies like Iran and the Lebanese Hezbollah will join the battle if Gaza is subjected to a war of annihilation. Do you fear war coming to Israel on another front?
I think that's a very legitimate concern, and anyone who has been watching this conflict and paying attention to it for a long time has always known that that's a great fear. If Hezbollah and Syria with Bashar al-Assad should choose to attack Israel from its northern border at the same time that Hamas is attacking from Gaza, and who knows what Iran could do from the east, I think that's of grave concern, and it would be an all-out war for the entire region. But as much as I'm concerned about it, I do feel very strong that Israel has the capabilities to defend itself, to defend its civilian population. There will be many lives lost on both sides, but I do believe that Israel would come out of it victorious, especially with the support of our allies like the United States and the European Union and others around the world who really stand for freedom and are standing up for what's right. There really should be no equivocation going on between Israel defending itself against this terrorism from Hamas and possibly from Hezbollah, and what they've chosen to do. As I said, Hamas is not protecting the Palestinian people. There have been no Israelis in Gaza since 2005. Israel unilaterally withdrew from the Gaza Strip in 2005. They removed every single Jew, every single soldier. Hamas was elected a couple of years later, and rather than investing in infrastructure, rather than building schools, all they have chosen to do since that time is invest in weapons and try to attack Israel and destroy Israel. They are not committed to peace. They are not committed to any sort of normalization. Their only care in the world is to try to work as hard as they can to destroy Israel. And that's also with the support of Iran. We know that they have a very close relationship with Iran, very close relationship with Qatar. They receive millions and millions and millions of dollars. And the leader of Hamas lives in a nice, nice place in Qatar, while his people suffer in Gaza. So while it is of grave concern, I do feel strongly that Israel is going to come out of this victorious. And it may be many hard days ahead of us, bloody days ahead of us. But our enemies have tried to destroy us before, and they have not succeeded, and they will not succeed this time either.
Jason, thank you. That's Jason Holtzman, director of the Jewish Community Relations Council of the Jewish Federation of Greater Philadelphia. We turn now to Sahar Aziz. She is a distinguished professor of law and a Middle East and Legal Studies scholar at Rutgers University Law School and author of the book, The Racial Muslim, When Racism Quashes Religious Freedom. Professor Aziz, Israel has declared a full siege on the Gaza Strip. No power, no food, no gas. What does this mean for civilians who are trapped in what Human Rights Watch calls an open-air prison?
Thank you very much for inviting me. In any war, we must ask how we got to this point, and more importantly, in the Gaza context, why Palestinian civilians continue to be indiscriminately killed and collectively punished, in this case by the Israeli military. And while staunch supporters of Israel want to focus our attention on the horrific terrorism against Israeli civilians committed by Hamas this week, those who have family and friends in Palestine know all too well that being murdered by the Israeli government is a regular part of their lives. Now, to be clear, there is no justification for a non-state militant group such as Hamas or a nation state such as Israel to indiscriminately kill civilians. Any politically motivated violence that kills civilians, whether by a state or non-state organization, is a violation of international law and a moral wrong. But the sad truth is that since 2008, the government of Israel has effectively imprisoned 2.3 million Palestinians in Gaza and killed more than 6,000 Palestinians. So the reality for Palestinians in Gaza is that in 2008, 2009, 2012, 2014, and 2021, they have been subjected to 92 days of bombing. And the bombing includes mosques, apartment buildings where civilians live, hundreds of civilians, thousands of civilians live, schools, UN buildings. And so the challenge right now is how can we get a ceasefire and how can we get the international community to intervene and get a ceasefire so that we can protect both Israeli and Palestinian civilians and we can address the hostage crisis and also stop the indiscriminate killing of innocent Palestinian civilians who are effectively being collectively punished.
Carol noted that a joint statement from President Biden and leaders of the UK, France, Germany, and Italy in support of Israel also says all of us recognize the legitimate aspirations of the Palestinian people and support equal measures of justice and freedom for Israelis and Palestinians alike. What are those aspirations, Professor, those measures of justice and freedom for Palestinians?
Well, I can tell you what it's not, because this is the reality for Palestinians in Gaza. There's a 40% of the population lives in poverty, most of them in extreme poverty. 80% of households are completely dependent on food aid because of the blockade that make it almost impossible for Gazans to access education, medical care, or even potable water. 90% of the population of Gaza lacks access to safe drinking water. And hundreds of thousands of people are homeless because every time, again, we've had five different bombings by the Israeli government, people's houses are destroyed and they can't rebuild them. So at this point, the international community, including the United States, which is a big ally of Israel, needs to figure out a long-term sustainable solution where you do not have 6 million people, over 2 million in Gaza and nearly 4 million in the West Bank, living under permanent occupation. Either it is going to be a two-state solution or it's going to be a one-state solution. But what is not an option is ethnic cleansing. What is not an option is the killing of civilians by either, whether it's the nation state of Israel, Hamas, or other militia groups. And what is not an option is permanent occupation. So I think at this point, it doesn't do anyone any good, whether they are Israeli citizens or they are Palestinians, to resolve this through either permanent occupation, open air prison, or war. And the Oslo agreements unfortunately have failed because the international community has effectively given Israel a carte blanche to build more settlements, to lock in the Gazans in this miserable situation over decades, and to not try to actually move towards what the Oslo agreement was supposed to do, which was a two-state solution. And in fact, you have many supporters of Israel, both in Israel and in the United States, who have said Netanyahu's government and other governments have taken steps and passed policies that have made it impossible for a two-state solution. So the question is, so what's the alternative? And I believe nobody wants the alternative to be war. And nobody wants the alternative to be Israeli civilians being killed and Palestinian civilians being killed.
Shahar Aziz, thank you very much for joining us. She is a professor, distinguished professor of law and Middle East and legal studies scholar at Rutgers. And I do want to correct, the title of her book is The Racial Muslim: When Racism Quashes Religious Freedom. We say thank you to both Jason and Shahar for being with us this morning.